This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. My guest, Kate Winslet, is known around the world for her starring role in the blockbuster Titanic, but it's not typical of the kind of film she makes. She made her screen debut in the 1994 film Heavenly Creatures, based on the true story of two teenage girls with an obsessive friendship who murdered one of their parents who tried to separate them. Winslet has also starred in several literary adaptations, Sense and Sensibility, Jude, based on Jude the Obscure, and Hamlet, directed by Kenneth Branagh. Her latest film, Quills, is very loosely based on the life of the Marquis de Sade, from whose writings about sex and pain we get the word sadism. The film is nominated for 3 Academy Awards, including Best Actor for Geoffrey Rush's portrayal of de Sade. In the film, de Sade has been institutionalized in a mental asylum. His books remain very popular, even though they've been banned in France. Kate Winslet plays the asylum laundress who smuggles out his writings to his publisher.
Your publisher says I'm not to leave without another manuscript.
Just the story. Inspired by these very surroundings. The unhappy tale of a virginal laundry lass. The darling of the lower wards where they entomb the criminally insane.
Is it awfully violent?
Most assuredly.
Terribly erotic.
Fiendishly so. But it comes with a price. A kiss for each page.
Must I administer them directly or might I blow them?
The price, my coquette, is every bit as firm as I am.
Oh, you talk the same as you write.
Kate Winslet, welcome to Fresh Air.
Thank you.
You've done several risky things during your film career. Did this seem like an adventurous or risky film to make?
It was both, I think, adventurous and risky, which is really the reason why I wanted to do it. I think it was just such a brave and bold script, and particularly because it had been written by a first-time features writer, I was just so amazed at the sort of daring aspects that the script had, and it just seemed so accomplished to me as well. It was really well written and just had so much stuff in there that as an actor you can really get your teeth into.
What was the riskiest part for you in making the film?
Well, I just think the subject matter was really the riskiest thing, because it's just something that, for a start, not many people know about. And you know, you take a lot of chances when you play with history in the way that we were. And you know, the Marquis de Sade, he's not the type of character that everybody loves. So that aspect was, you know, I think probably the hardest. And there were specific scenes that were tough as well. But you know, working with people like Geoffrey Rush and Joaquin Phoenix and Michael Caine, I was kind of in a position where I sort of couldn't go wrong, because they were just so great, and Philip Kaufman is such an amazing director.
When you talk about risky scenes, are you thinking perhaps of the scene where you're laying naked in the chapel and Joaquin Phoenix, who plays a priest who is in love with you, makes love to your dead body?
Mm-hmm.
That'll fall in the category.
That springs to mind. That's certainly one of the ones that springs to mind. No, that was a difficult. I mean, it was harder for Joaquin, I think, that scene. It's a deeply emotional scene for him, and of course for me, I mean, nudity is always tough to do, and it never gets any easier. And I don't like doing it, but you know, it's sometimes very much a part of the story, and often really crucial to the story, to the storyline, and to the character's journey. So you kind of have to just accept that and move on. But you know, when you're shooting scenes like that, you have to keep a sense of humour, and everyone's always so sensitive towards what you're having to do that, you know, it makes life a lot easier. But that certainly was a difficult one, because as I said, it was so hard on Joaquin. He had to just cry continuously for an entire day, and the poor guy was just so exhausted at the end of it. But that's, yes, that's one of the ones that's, you know, top of the list of tough scenes in Quills.
What's difficult about doing a nude scene?
Well, you know, if you were in a restaurant and someone turned around to you and said, take all your clothes off and stand up on the table, would you do it? It sort of feels like that. You know, it's very, very hard. You know, you are naked and vulnerable in front of a bunch of people who you have got to know a little bit, but essentially don't know. You know, these people aren't your friends. They're not people you would necessarily trust on a day-to-day real life basis. And obviously making movies is great, but it isn't reality, and you have to remember that. So it is just hard, you know, overcoming any, you know, fears that you might have about your own physicality and so on. And the toughest part really is forgetting that you're naked, because in order to make scenes like that work, and in order to get the acting of the scene across, you have to completely abandon any fears that you may have about, you know, your physical body shape, and just get on with the work and try and do the best work that you possibly can in a really bizarre situation. That for me is always the hardest part, is just concentrating on the work and forgetting about everything else.
Kate Winslet is my guest. Usually after someone's been in a big blockbuster, like Titanic, they keep making big, expensive movies. And you've stuck with more arty films and independent films. There's Quills, Hideous Kinky, Holy Smoke. Why have you made those choices instead of going with, you know, the big box office type films?
Well, it's really interesting when people ask me this question, because it hasn't been a deliberate decision that I've made. And in a way, if you think about the films that I've done in my career, movies like Heavenly Creatures, and even Sense and Sensibility, Jude, Hamlet, you know, they are kind of small movies. And so in a way, I'm always somehow drawn to that. And really with Titanic, what happened was I remember reading the script and just loving it so much and loving the character. And Jim Cameron, I really believe, is a genius. And I just thought to myself, well, why not? You know, it had all of the elements that I usually hope to find when I'm reading movie scripts, and it just so happened to be a huge, great big hit. So after Titanic, I didn't really make a conscious decision to steer clear of all the great big blockbuster movies. I mean, I was very aware of the fact that it was important not to continue to do big movie after big movie, because I didn't want people to get bored of me for a start, and I also wanted to remember that, you know, I'm doing this because I love it and not for any other reason, and it was important for me to just kind of keep reminding myself of that fact. Hideous Kinky was a very conscious decision that I made. I wanted to do a lovely little British movie, just something that was a complete contrast to the enormity of Titanic, and I'd always loved the story. Hideous Kinky is an adaptation of a novel, and I'd read the novel when I was about 17 years old, so it was sort of kind of special to me to make that film. And, you know, it was great. I got to go to Morocco and get a suntan, and I met my husband there, so I think that was probably a good choice to have made.
Right. Let me ask you about your first film, Heavenly Creatures. Now, this is about two teenage girls who are best friends, and you have a very vivid imagination and lead all these fantasy games. Mm-hmm. This is based on the true story of two girls. Mm-hmm. Who shared a love of fantasy and literature. And when they learn that one of them is going to leave New Zealand with her family, and her friend can't go with her, they conspire to kill the friend's mother, who they blame for trying to end their intense and obsessive relationship with each other. In this scene, the two girls have planned to buy tickets so they can leave New Zealand together. One calls the other to say she's almost got the money together.
Everything's going to be okay, Gina. Mr. Paris promised to give me £50 for my horse.
That's 120. Just another £30 and we've got the fare.
It's no bloody good. I went to the passport office today. They won't give me one till I'm 20.
But that's not true. I've got one.
No. I need my sodding parents' consent.
Oh, don't cry, Dina. Gina, please don't cry. We're not going to be separated. We're not.
They can't make us.
They can't. They can't. They're not.
Kate Winslet, how did you get this part in the movie?
I was just sitting there actually listening to that clip, and I know every single word, every single line that was said then, including mine and Melanie Linsky's, who played Pauline. Every single line I can still remember. It's amazing. I was just saying that because I'm sure I couldn't remember the lines from all the other movies that I've done, but I think Heavenly Creatures were so special to me, and I felt so close to it that, I still remember things as though it was yesterday.
You were, what, 17 when you had that role?
I was 17, yes. I was just 17, actually, when I played that part. I got the part because Peter Jackson, who had directed it, and Fran Walsh, his co-writer, they were after an English girl because she was English and she was living in New Zealand with her family. So they appointed UK casting directors John and Roz Hubbard, whom I've known for a long time anyway, and I'd known them for a little while even back then. And I was just called in to audition. I was sent the script and called in to audition, and I remember being very, very determined and thinking, you know, if it's the last thing I do, I'm going to get this. I just loved the script so much, and I really understood these girls, the intensity of their relationship. I mean, I'd never had a relationship like that myself, but that sort of heightened sense of reality and that kind of hormonal confusion that young girls go through, because I was so close to it, or I had been through it, you know, a couple of years earlier, I really, really related to it. And just their commitment and loyalty and love that they had for each other, I just thought was so amazing. And was only too thrilled when they called me when I was working in a deli in Reading, which is my hometown. And I received a phone call from my agent saying, "You clever girl, you've got the job." And I just screamed and cried and had to be sent home. I was completely hopeless. Couldn't make any more sandwiches that day.
My guest is Kate Winslet. We'll talk more after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Kate Winslet. When we left off, we were talking about her first film, Heavenly Creatures. This is a disturbing film. You know, the two girls end up killing one of the girls' mothers. So, you know, a lot of teenagers start making movies in teen prank and sex movies. Did you ever like those kind of teen movies? You never were
no.
in any of them.
No, I wasn't. I'd never really had any kind of interest in movies like that, to be honest with you. But it's interesting because when I was very young and realized that I definitely wanted to be an actress, I never for one minute even thought about movies, films. It never even occurred to me, because I had grown up in a family of actors who worked sometimes and had long periods of time when they didn't work and would get part-time jobs in between and would mostly do theatre and TV, but none of them ever really did film. So I just always assumed that would be the type of career that I would have. And, you know, I got so sick of people saying to me, you know, "You really need to have another string to your bow, Kate. You know, it's a very hard life, you know, that an actor leads, and, you know, you might not work all the time, and maybe you should do a secretarial course." And I remember really panicking about this, because I never did that. I never had the other string to my bow. I always figured that if it didn't work out, I would just have to find something else to do and make that happen. But I never thought about being in films. And so when I was sent this script for Heavenly Creatures, it was only after reading it once that I then suddenly realized, God, this is a movie. You know, I could do a movie, God. And it really hit me that was a possibility all of a sudden. I'd never thought that before. For some reason, I'd never thought that before. And even as we were making the movie, I didn't really think about what was going to happen with it and whether people would actually see it. I was doing a movie, and that was great. You know, I just didn't think about what would happen later. I just wanted to have the best time I could and work as hard as I could. And the result was quite a nice one, really.
Acting has been a part of your family life. Your grandparents on your mother's side ran a small theater. Your father was or still is an actor.
Was, and, you know, is now sort of doing other things. I mean, he's getting on a bit. He'd hate me to say that, but he's always doing lots of things, my dad.
Tell me about your grandparents' theater.
My grandparents ran the old Reading Repertory Theatre Company, and what that means is that there was a group of actors who were a part of this theatre company, and they would literally rotate and role plays over just back to back to back. And the theatre was in my grandparents' back garden, so my mother very much grew up with actors just, you know, walking through the house every now and then and being in the kitchen, just being around. And it was very much a part of her life and sort of spilled over into our lives as well, although my mother herself doesn't act. It was kind of coincidental and a bit crazy that my father did. So it just became one big actory fest, you know, and there was no escaping, I don't think, for myself and my sisters. We always knew that was what we wanted to do. I mean, we had no idea whether it would work out or not, but it was what we wanted to do, and we felt kind of really strongly about that.
Was your father maybe able to make a living as an actor, and what did you think of the profession watching him trying to make it?
Well, I always respected my dad so much because he did always work and he worked really hard, but he would be doing theatre or little TV jobs or, you know, going away, travelling, touring theatre all over the UK. And I was always so proud of that. And there was nothing, you know, it was so thrilling to go and see him on stage and, you know, just go, oh, that's my dad. You know, it was just fantastic, a fantastic feeling. So, yes, he did make a living. I mean, it was really hard, but especially having four children, it was tough. But yes, he did make a living. And I wanted to be like him. I just wanted to have as much determination as he had, and I wanted to work as much as he did and have such a great time as well. I mean, he always had so much fun. So that was, you know, that was what I grew up on, you know, just seeing him work hard and having great fun at the same time. That was a real inspiration to me, because it is important to remember that you mustn't take it too seriously, and you know, it isn't reality, and of course it's wonderful, but you just have to remember to go home and have your life at the end of every day.
Now, I know men and women, and I'll include myself in this category, who really think that it's great that you're this beautiful actress who isn't rail thin.
Oh, it's that subject. Oh.
Yeah, if you don't mind.
No, I don't mind at all. It's to be expected, let's say.
Yeah,
but
well,
that's fine. It's fine.
I'm just wondering how, if... I read that there was a period of your life when you were around 18, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
I think I have it right. When you were really working hard to be as thin as you could and develop
yep.
something of an eating disorder, what were yep. the pressures that led to that?
There weren't any pressures, to be honest. I mean, it hadn't really... No one had ever said to me, oh, you've got to get thin. You know, no one ever said that to me. I just got caught in a trap of having been really quite big when I was about 15 years old. I was weighing around 13 stone, which is about 185 pounds, at the age of 16. So, you know, I needed to do something. And I knew that as an actress, there were only certain roles that I was going to get at that age if I was overweight. And I really was overweight. I mean, I was fat, basically. I wasn't even shapely. And I wasn't happy. It wasn't making me happy. So I very sensibly lost some of that weight and just got down to, I don't know what weight it was, but, you know, a good average weight. And then I just got carried away, really. I just got carried away, and I just thought, well, you know, the thinner I get, the nicer clothes I'll be able to wear, and I might get more jobs if I'm really skinny, and people might like me more, and people might think I'm more attractive, and just completely corrupt, totally corrupt. But no, it was all self-inflicted. No one had pushed me into this at all. And, yeah, I did get really quite thin, and, you know, I would faint and things and just didn't eat very much at all. I mean, I think about it now and I can't believe how stupid I was to let myself get like that. I mean, I was never emaciated, and, you know, and I wouldn't say to this day that I had a major eating disorder, because I didn't need to seek help and I sorted it out for myself. I was strong enough to be able to do that. Now, some people aren't strong enough to be able to do that, but I'm just lucky that I was. But there was a period of a couple of months that went by when I remembered, you know, I just hardly ate a thing. And that's just so bad for you, so bad for you. So I'm lucky that I pulled myself out of it, and I've been the shapely girl I am ever since.
I'm wondering if, having gone through that, if it affected your self-consciousness on screen at all.
Not really. I mean, you'd think that maybe it would, but I'm just, you know, I'm self-conscious in a very natural way, you know, in the way that we all are, like, oh, I don't like that wobbly bit there, or must remember to hold my stomach in, you know, oh, you know, do my breasts look saggy? You know, I think those are normal thoughts to have, especially when you are an actress who has to sometimes you know, agree to nudity on screen. And all those very natural paranoias can't help but run through your mind.
So what movie is coming up for you next?
Well, I shot a movie, Enigma, last year, which Michael Apted directed with Dougray Scott. That's based on a novel by Robert Harris. It's about the breaking of the Enigma codes in the Second World War. So I shot that while I was pregnant, actually. I was 5-6 months pregnant when we had finished shooting the movie. I believe that's coming out Easter summer. I'm not quite sure. And then I'm going to... I'm going to be shooting a movie with Judi Dench in about a month's time called Iris, which is about the life of Iris Murdoch, who died, sadly, of really chronic Alzheimer's. And I'm playing the young Iris. So I'm playing the young Judi Dench. And I really, you know, I'm quite keen to get back to work, actually, after having had the baby. And I really thought I'd just want to take, you know, forever off and never go back to work. But about a month ago, I just felt a little bit itchy to, you know, to do something. And this is great, you know, because half the movie is set in the present and half of it is in the past, so it's not as intense as most shoots would be, so it'll just be nice to kind of, you know, get my teeth into something and just ease me back into it gently, because I haven't really done anything for almost a year now with having the baby, so it'll be good to get back there.
Well, I wish you the best with it, and I want to thank you very much for talking with us.
It's a pleasure. Thank you very much.
Kate Winslet, her latest film, Quills, has been nominated for 3 Academy Awards. I'm Terry Gross, and this is Fresh Air.